Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do? What is up? How are you?
Ahoy!
I am Jim Rome. How are you?
Welcome to the jungle.
Wait, hey. Why all of a sudden that was like a Jim Rome meets Donald Trump meets Frank Caliendo?
Fake news.
Look, I'm not going to lie. That was terrible on my part.
In the jungle.
As far as impressions, you threw me off with the Jim Rome thing. Next thing I know, I'm going into it. I don't know.
You ever been in the jungle?
I've never been in
the
jungle.
You ever called into the Rome show?
Have a chicken, don't suck. Ugh. Now, I think, honestly, I'm incapable of doing a hot take. I don't have it.
What you do.
I don't.
That's your job, dude.
I can't hot take it.
You're a hot take expert.
I don't.
You do it every day.
I try to be a rational human being. But I think the world is not set up for rational human beings because I find myself...
Have a take, don't suck.
Yes, I find myself...
It's Pharrell in the bag. God, sports radio is so stupid.
I find myself on a daily basis just realizing... Just how out on an island I feel like I am. But then...
Wait, I love sports radio. What am I talking about?
I feel like that's 70% of us, though, that are rational human beings that feel like we're adrift on an island. It's just because the other 30% just yell so loud.
Hey, what are you guys doing? Hey, Mike, what are you doing over there?
Hey, Mike Lynch.
How's it?
I'm good. I'm podcasting Dirt and Sprague right now.
How's it, bro?
It's okay. How are you?
Nope.
Great. Now, how was the big draft party?
Oh, it was good. I made it on time.
Good. So you got from here to Beaverton in 30 minutes?
14 minutes.
Ooh. Damn, dude.
Well, Mike, you know.
Yeah, he's a lead foot.
Yeah, it's a bit scary. We've said if you see a black Nissan Murano that's going 120 and breaking various laws, it's Mike Lynch.
With Syracuse. Yes. You can tell because he's got Syracuse orange, like the...
yeah, if you just see
what
the...
What is that called?
The S.
The license plate.
Yeah, the license plate.
The trim
cover.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you see the orange blur go by you, that's
Mike.
Dude,
he drives fast.
Although,
it's ridiculous.
I will say it told me only 17 minutes on Google traffic, so I only beat it by 3 minutes. Isn't that amazing, though, from here to Cedar Hills, 17 minutes?
No, that's
amazing. You
shaved
off 3 minutes off a thing that's like maybe 12 miles. That's actually
good. That's really good. Yeah, like most of the time, it's really hard to beat that thing.
Yeah.
703 to 717. That's what
it was. But I'll tell you what, when you're driving and you see it update by a minute or two, don't you feel good? You're like, I'm making incredible time.
Yeah, it does make you feel good.
Like, oh, I got this.
It's like when you get I don't know. 5% off or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, isn't that delightful? So who did you draft? Okay, wait a minute. So it was the Fan Fantasy Football Freaky Friday fun draft.
Fun with flags, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you going with
fantasy
a fun
football.
With flags reference.
Who's the number one pick? Reference.
Yeah.
In my draft?
In all, like, just, cons-
That's
I mean,
McCaffrey,
let's
right?
talk.
Saquon Barkley has been
Whoa.
Number one.
Ooh.
McCaffrey? Is
Christian
he up
McCaffrey's
there?
Number two.
Really?
McCaffrey would be a big deal. Barkley would be a big deal.
Zeke Elliott's up there.
Yeah.
Are people not drafting quarterbacks number one?
No.
Everyone waits for quarterbacks.
You have to
Fantasy
wait, right?
football, you wait pretty late because the difference between the top quarterbacks and the middle tier is very slim.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the points, the running backs are the key guys, right? Because.
Well, wide receivers are kind of stepping up now. If you have PPR. Points per reception in your
right.
league.
That's a big deal.
Now, I did see that Tom Brady, who is kind of a
bore.
Tommy. He did have a, I don't follow him, but someone retweeted Tom Brady.
Tommy.
And he had a good one. It was at practice and he was catching, you know, he was like making an over the shoulder catch.
I can't even imagine.
And his tagline was something like, hey, fantasy guys in PPR, just know I'm available. It was a nice little...
Cute.
Yeah, it was an adorable little thing.
Cute.
Right?
That is cute.
Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, and Christian McCaffrey, the top four picks.
So Ezekiel Elliott is still up there because...
Everyone believes that he'll be back.
Well, I know he'll be back, but the question is when.
I think people think he'll be back by week one.
Okay.
That's why I mean.
So he didn't drop any?
Nope. Not at all.
Cool. So those four, and then who's like the first non-running back guy?
DeAndre Hopkins is the most common top receiver taken, and then Michael Thomas after him from the Saints.
Yeah.
Is the other most common.
See, I'd take Thomas over Hopkins, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Me too, but they're one pick difference, so.
Yeah, there's not a huge slide there, but you can make the argument that New Orleans may spread it out a little bit more than Houston does.
That's true.
So, I mean, I'd have,
where'd my boy Baker go?
You're talking about arguably the two best receivers this side of Antonio Brown.
I don't think there's anything wrong with partying, bro.
I'm looking for you. 1 second.
Well, that's okay. I don't.
No, we don't care.
It's not that important. I don't even know why I asked that.
I know. I was like, question, really?
Who was pick number 158?
You really digging into Mike's fantasy draft?
Well, I'm kind of interested. I used to dabble in
fantasy.
You miss
it a little bit. I know you do.
I like fantasy football. I don't miss it, but I liked it when I played it.
Baker Mayfield was taken number 7 in round 12.
See,
so
I've,
pretty late.
I've come to accept fantasy football. I used to not understand it at all. I get it, right? Something to do. You don't have to pay attention to your family. It's gambling. Whatever. You get to hang out with your buddies. But I'll tell you, it just never has appealed to me. That is one thing that I've just, like, everyone always says, oh, you don't play because you're stubborn. You used to say that you hate it. Dude, I'm all for, changing your mind, right? When you get new information, when you're privileged to the new S, like, you update your mind, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It's the idea that you never change your mind is the most, like, ignorant thing you can do. But fantasy football just does not appeal to me in any shape or form.
All right, you know what today's show is?
What do you got?
Look, man, I have bad news to break to people. There is no Club 1080 tonight.
Well, that just means we should, you know, dink off more throughout the course of the...
Dink off?
Yeah.
As opposed to donking off?
Can we donk off?
Dorking off?
Dork. Well, that's...
D-ing off.
That's a little weird. Screwing off?
What?
Whoa.
It's all very awkward.
Bill.
How about we just play grab ass?
You're flying a little too close to the sun over there, Jace.
Are we?
JC Babes.
Never heard that?
No, not we.
You're dinking around? Is that a bad term? Am I not aware of that?
Okay, so...
Like dink and dunk? Same thing? Like, is that a weird...
No.
Why is that a thing? I think this is like one of those words that you think it means something and it's making you uncomfortable. Like,
isn't that a slur of some sort?
Is it?
I think it might be.
It's like when I called, like, I brought up the squarehead thing and you got all uncomfortable.
Yeah, square.
Still uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like,
a little weird.
Like mook is another one. People are like,
John!
It's not a swear word. And it's not like a, it's John. Not a slur. It just means like you're a dumbass.
Well, I don't like it.
I know. You
clean it up.
You get uncomfortable sometimes, and I'm not really certain why.
Because I am not like you. Because
it sounds
and
like
I
something
have...
that's going to make you uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, we have no club.
No.
Do you want to know why?
Well, I do know why, but you should tell the people why.
Okay,
I got the same email you did, and we were told yesterday as
well. Whoa. There's an email about this?
There was an email about it.
I didn't see that.
Way to pay attention.
Here's what's going
on. Wait, Sue saw an email before Rob saw an email?
Go figure,
huh? I'm glued to my email.
That's a major upset right there.
Because Sook doesn't look at his email.
There was an email about it?
No, I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't. When you log on in the morning, how many emails do you have waiting in your inbox? Let's say you check it 9:30, 10.
For work?
Just in general. Like
five.
You have five?
I have no emails.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I mean, I have nothing.
So you don't use your work email for other things?
Not some things, but I have a private email too.
I think I get about five. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I have both emails go into the same inbox. I have three email addresses.
Yeah.
One I don't ever use, but one private and one work, and they all go into the same inbox. So when I check my inbox, it's all my emails from all of my email addresses, all 75 of them.
And there's you only
and
have
there's,
five?
Yeah, I have nothing. Wow. Nothing. I have got serious hardcore filters on there.
Maybe that's what I need to be a part of.
Nobody ever wants to get a hold of me for work stuff. Hmm. Like, I mean, we don't do anything on email around here. People leave us alone. We're not in the mix in the corporate intercom world.
I'm
We're
assuming
just on
you
air
a,
guys.
You have a lot of emails, Sook, that are from companies like that you've signed up for.
I just
that's
get a,
my assumption.
I just get a lot of random
like
stuff.
How many do you have?
Probably 15 to 20.
See, and that to me is still not very many. You know, people that work on email, like my wife works on email.
Yeah, you get tons.
Oh, my God. She has hundreds.
Yeah. And so I'll just sit there in the
morning. It's a thing.
I'll just go on there, and it would be, I don't even know what I would be like. I would never see anything if I had that many, because if I get, I don't know, 15 or 20, and on bad days, maybe you get 30 or 35. I just start at the top, and it's just like, I delete, 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 delete. And sometimes, like, I'll get into a rhythm.
And you skip one, you shouldn't.
And you'll skip one, or you just do, like, a quick scan. Like, I'll read the title, and I'm like, yeah, that's not important, delete, that's not important, delete. Nah. And it just, you know, I kind of get into a deleting zone, and then before I know it, I forget about it.
Well, the thing with those jobs, like, my wife has one of those jobs with a lot of emails. They're all emails that need to be responded to.
Yes, that's right. They're all important, right?
When we got back from Victoria, she said she had like 150 all needing to be responded to. Yeah. And it was like,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I've seen my wife works from home, and I've seen her email. Now, that's information that I'm not privy to, right? Like, seriously, she works with,
sure.
She's a nurse.
Yeah.
But I've stood behind her and seen.
That's code for Rapa spine.
Seen her screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just all black unread emails.
Yeah.
You know,
I've done that. Like,
and she's got to go through one by one and be thoughtful. Like, I see. Okay. So I get into a little trouble with this because I don't deal much on email. Mm-hmm. I oftentimes, and I catch myself, I'm aware of this, but I'm a quick responder. I'm a quick responder on email, and I'm a quick responder on my phone. It's not often long, and it's usually to the point, but it's quick. I hate waiting for responses that shouldn't take that long, right? Like, if I'm just trying to clear something up, or like, hey, what was the name of the, or whatever. I am a quick responder, so I expect quick responses back, which I'm learning to understand that not everybody operates that way, and that's totally fine, but it drives me crazy. So what I'll do is I'll get on email, and I'll send an important email or something, like important to me, like dealing with something. Like today I was dealing with insurance things. And then I get mad when it takes that person half a day to respond to me.
You feel like it should be
I'm like, come on. Because for me, it's like the only thing I have to deal with in my inbox. For them, they probably have 800 emails, and them getting back to me in 6 hours is actually really good.
Yeah.
So I really have to take a step back on that note. I know I'm well aware of that, but it still bothers me.
So like my buddy that owns the car dealership. So sometimes we'll be at lunch, or last night we went to a movie, and we'll be sitting down during previews, and he'll be like, hold on, I got to, like, check the end of the day, right? They're closing down, and you got to see the day's sales. And
the big numbers.
Yeah, the big numbers and all that.
I check the numbers.
And in my mind, right, like, you're just checking the numbers. That's like a message, correct?
Oh, no.
No. He'll sit there during previews, and he opens up his phone, and the same thing. Like, I can see, like, in the old perif there, I can just see the chain of things that he has to deal with on a daily basis, from all the sales managers to the service people. And it just all floods in, and it does. It makes my brain cramp that he has. And I asked him once, I was like, how many times a day? And he's like, you don't want to know. Like, there's just it's the same thing. It's just a constant flood. And I suppose if you're used to it, that your brain, you know, you just figure that out. You adjust to it. But you're right. If you don't deal in email, I think it's really hard to have an understanding of what that's like for someone that deals with hundreds a day and important stuff.
So
Russ is like, it's a lot. Half of my stuff is like, and you probably get them too. Do you want a great guest idea?
Right.
I've got a guy that'll talk about his new book on organic gardening. He will be a great fit for your show
all the time.
It's like that.
And you know what? I go over the top to find a way to block those people. Like, I get violently ill when I get those.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you, like, I will go to the end of the earth.
Yeah, it's National Popsicle Day. Would you like to get an expert to talk about it?
The first thing I will do is I will set my email to put that in directly into junk, that email address. And then I will respond to them and say, please take me off your email list. Thank you. That's what I'll do. And if I get more from them, it's on.
Yeah.
I become Crazy Eyes McGinley.
Mm.
Get me off of your damn list.
See, and I don't. I just go through every day and just delete.
See, because I love a clean inbox.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
It's like having a clean garage. You just walk in.
Yeah.
Like,
aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Nothing I have to deal with today. Maybe I'll go play golf. Well, here's why we're not on tonight from 6 to 7. Folks, there is a very special one-off radio broadcast tonight at 6 p.m. from 6 to 8 here on The Fan. It will be a special Ducks preview show. At least I think.
You are correct. And it features all the heavy hitters.
Yeah, I think Jerry Allen's going to be on there.
Yeah. Jorgie's going to be on there.
Who?
Jorgie. And more importantly, Dusty.
Dusty Hara.
Yeah, Dusty Bottoms. Yep. The fan
and Dirt.
I think Dirt. I think they're like our duck like insiders now.
I saw Dirt in the parking lot as I pulled in. What was he supposed to be on the air?
He left at 2 to get down to Eugene for the show.
Oh, yeah. He has to go to Eugene to
The show is in Eugene.
Yeah, it's down in Eugene.
Well, why can't they just do it here? They do that all the time.
Because everyone's down in Eugene. It's like a whole thing. They're gonna have coaches and it's a
big deal.
It's a production.
Will it be televised as well?
It's not an action, it's a piece
Facebook
of work.
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live. It's a
whole listen
thing.
Here.
Yeah, listen to us. I mean them on here, the fan. So 6 to 8, all the Duck guys. And they're going to, I mean, they're just, if you're a Duck fan, you'll want to hear that show.
Yeah.
Because like you said, coaches will be on there and fans. Maybe they'll take calls.
Well,
do you think they'll take calls?
I would hope so.
So expectations.
Mildred from Springfield.
For the season, 5-2-3-4-4-4. Yeah, hey, it's me, Bill. Great job, guys. Great show. Listen every night. Hey, you guys think the kicker's going to be...
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Carly Lloyd, you guys think we can sign her?
Hey.
I'll hang up and listen off the air.
I'll tell you what.
Hey, love you guys.
She drilled that 55-yarder and looked damn good doing it, too. Now, she got like a 6-yard run-up, but it was still pretty impressive.
Also, hot corner 8-9 tonight. We are not off the air. We are still on the air, just... A 1-hour show after.
You guys going to take calls?
Anything else we want to plug while we're at it? Yeah.
Right, what's just, on from 9
got,
to 10?
You got something going on after that?
No. Probably Ducks Insider.
The Rop Hour.
What's on
up
from
at 10
to midnight tonight? Let's tease that.
ESPN Radio.
No.
Stuff. Yeah, ESPN Radio.
Stuff and things and
who's
stuff.
Who's on ESPN Radio now?
I don't know.
Anybody good?
People.
Kornheiser.
Is it still Freddie Coleman?
I believe he is still on at night, yeah.
Yeah. Freddie with that big, deep voice.
Fred Coleman.
I have no idea what Freddie Coleman looks like, but I've heard him a million times.
Oh, he looks exactly like you would think he would.
Does he?
Yeah.
I'm going to look up Freddie. Yeah.
All right, now we're wandering. Okay, so that's the deal. 3 to 6 tonight, that's all you get. Fun with Audio will begin our show, and it's Antonio Brown from last night.
He looks like if David Shaw got stung by a bee.
On the Fan.
John.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, last night's Hard Knocks did address the Antonio Brown situation for the Raiders. That Raiders. They brought in Frank Caliendo last night.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Lighten things up a little bit. I feel like that's the only thing that Frank Caliendo can do now.
Mike, can you... Do we
have the clip?
Yeah, let's try to find that. I forgot to forward that on. Frank Caliendo as John Gruden is gold.
Yes, he does two people, right? He does Madden, and Madden's...
Well, he does more than that.
Yeah, but...
He did Stephen A. last night, and it was spot on.
His two main impressions that he gets paid for, that he actually looks like, he does the where he dresses up as Madden, but he can't do Madden anymore because Madden's gone. He's out of the limelight, but his Gruden is spot on. Even the face.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Is really good.
He does Gruden better than Gruden.
Gruden, yes.
And I love Gruden. Okay, so you were right about John Gruden being featured on Hard Knocks.
Yes.
He's fantastic.
Yep.
Love him.
And that's the...
Would want to play for him.
Yeah, I've had people ask me too that's not a bit. That's just who he is.
He's great. He's intense.
But entertaining.
And he's demanding, but he's fun.
Yes.
And he's able to smile and laugh and joke, and he's kind of funny. Big fan. Big fan.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting because a lot of people are kind of railing on Gruden as like a has-been and he sucks and this and that. Like, I don't know. You watch these shows, man, you get a pretty good glimpse of these coaches. I see why he's good.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the Raiders are going to be good, but it's also one of those things where it's like, if John Gruden's a really good coach and he goes and coaches the Browns, does he then automatically suck because their problems are so systemic that one good coach can't overcome them? You know what I mean? And are the Raiders that? I mean, the Raiders very well just may be that. They're kind of they're just kind of a mess.
But they've looked pretty...
He's good.
It's the preseason, and so, again, don't draw any giant conclusions. But I do think in the preseason you can get an idea of who's coached well and... and you can see bad. It's hard to mask bad. And I'll tell you what, the Raiders,
they look good.
They look good.
I mean, I haven't watched them, but I'm just talking about Hard Knocks. They just seem to have a real pep in their step. They seem to be in it.
I think they're going to,
and they feel good about themselves. Like, you can tell.
Yes. I think they are going to be a major improvement will be made in that team this year, you know, and as clunky as that was, they didn't do a whole lot last year and they took a lot of flack and he tore down that roster and it's going to be a rebuild, right? They're not winning a Super Bowl this year, but
they're better though.
They have a plan. And I think that they took a step backwards, but I do think that they're going to take a step forward and you need to give it a little bit of time. My thing with Gruden is, one, does that message wear thin? Because I do think that there's a case of that act, it's not an act. His personality can wear on people. And can it exist with the modern player? The game passing him by, I don't think I'm as concerned about that. He's as smart a football guy as I've ever been around. And I think he is a guy that is open to adapting and learning and changing. And then obviously it's a matter of player personnel. It's a talent league between him and Mayock. Can they get on the same page and actually draft and develop the players that they need? Because there's going to be holes on that roster.
All right. Well, they addressed Antonio Brown, and here is an excerpt. It's about 38 seconds long, and it's how Gruden is dealing with Antonio Brown. Yeah. And this is last week then, obviously. The show aired last night, but it's a week behind.
It's a week behind.
So this is interesting. This is before AB throws his helmet back at the NFL and is what, like, appealing the fact that it got denied or whatever. So here's Gruden and Antonio Brown as they're walking out of practice as practice ends.
Dude, how are your feet? They hurt? They get real hot, then they get a little burning, but for the most part, I feel good. It just when it's really hot, they start burning. I got to take my shoes off.
Why don't you go to a cryo chamber?
Yeah, because not again, never again. Thanks for supporting me, because my head, the feet, people after me.
Yeah, I've been there.
You've been the constant supporter, because thank you.
I've been there. Yeah. But if you got any problems, anything bothering you, if you have any problems, I got problems.
Yeah, we're all in this together.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I know you got a lot of people in your ear because you're like a corporation that's kind of gone global.
So Brown is like, man, thank you.
Yeah.
And I think that tells you all you need to know about Gruden. Like, Gruden is pissed at Antonio Brown. He's like, get your ass in camp privately, like in his head.
Yeah.
But he has Antonio Brown thinking, I'm fully supporting you. And that's what you need. You need him engaged for when he comes back. So he loves Gruden.
Yeah, Gruden he's very demanding. And we talked about this yesterday, but he separates the players that he can, and Nick said he's a very smart individual. He separates the players that he can be heavy-handed with the guys he needs. He's not a dumbass.
There's a lot of coaches that would not handle the Antonio Brown situation like that.
Yes, he knows.
And it would be way worse.
Yes.
For whoever those coaches are than it is for Gruden in Oakland.
The good coaches know that there's this dumb idea that every player is equal, right? Everyone wants it to be the Bill Belichick way. And by the way, even there, it's not equal. Tom Brady doesn't get treated the same as everyone else. I think Bill is the closest thing to the ideal that everyone wants, the Vince Lombardi thing, right? That you treat the star player as the same as the 53rd man on the roster. The NFL does not exist that way. The starting left tackle is treated differently than the starting right corner. And the starting middle linebacker is certainly treated differently than the third string safety. Everyone has different kind of rules and I don't know, like a tolerance level. And he knows that with a guy like Antonio Brown, there needs to be a certain leeway that he allows those guys. But he also respects the fact that Antonio Brown is a pro. Despite all of his dumbassness, and believe me, there's plenty of it, has he ever not shown up on game day?
Dumbass.
I guess the last week in Pittsburgh when he quit, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I did.
The guy produces, and he's in shape, and he knows what he's doing. And I saw this.
He's crazy.
I saw this with Warren Sapp. I saw it with Keyshawn Johnson. I saw it with Booger McFarland, Simeon Rice. There were plenty of guys that were not, let's say, on the same page as the rest of us down in Tampa. But Gruden knew that he had to give those guys a leash in order to allow the team to be at its best.
Well, if Brown's being lazy ass, he won't give him much leash.
No.
But he knows Brown's staying in shape, and he knows, because there was even an excerpt in the show where he was like, oh man, His retention is really good. Yep. He clearly knows what he's doing. He's studying our plays and this and that. So Gruden's happy with him. He's probably frustrated about all the stuff that's going on, but he's happy with how he's keeping up. And if that weren't the case, then maybe Gruden wouldn't be acting like this.
And I also think there's a little bit of the bad cop, good cop. I think Mayock will be the heavy in this situation. And then I think Gruden comes in and puts his arm around him.
Brown is so... What do you think of him? He is so weird, man.
A strange guy.
They showed him a lot last night, and he is...
He's just different.
I can't... I need to see more of him. I don't really know what to make of him and what makes him tick.
There was an article written a year or two ago, and I don't know if you ever saw it, but I think we talked about it on the air, but basically the question that the article posed was, who is Antonio Brown? And no one really knows. He's a bit of an enigma to everybody, right? There's not a lot of close friends. His teammates know him and he's engaging and they like him, but he's not really close to anyone. He's a different guy. It almost reminds me, who are we talking about? The Dodgers pitcher. We were just talking about this.
Oh, Greinke?
Yeah, Greinke. He kind of has that same sort of vibe about him where he can be aloof. He can rub people the wrong way. But he's a pro. He shows up. And to be honest with you, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a bit on the spectrum. He's just a little bit of a different guy.
Well, he seems to have a good heart.
Yes.
But
he's not a bad guy.
No, not at all. He seems very fun-loving. But at the same time, he's very strange. The things he says, like they showed him multiple times where it's like, what is he talking about? Like he's very out there.
Well, if you ever meet someone that's, I don't know, different in their craft, right? Whether you're talking about a musician, whether you're talking about an artist, a business guy, you know, an NFL wide receiver, like Steve Ballmer, right? You telling me you sit down with Steve Ballmer and it's a comfortable conversation for you? I truly believe that there are people that are so successful that the brain is just wired a little bit differently. And some of that, I think, is what helps them be successful. And I think Antonio Brown is wired that way. That, and then you get into the whole sense of entitlement and, you know, the superstar culture and all that. But remember, he came from nothing. He was a Central Michigan guy that was a fifth or sixth round pick.
Yeah.
No one expected anything from him. And then he developed into this. So the guy probably carries around the Rock of Gibraltar on his shoulder as far as a chip. And then he goes out and develops this sort of mentality. And you already... You couple that with the fact that he is a bit off.
Developers. Yeah, he is. I don't know. The one thing you can say about him is, and you kind of eye roll because they showed him last night where he's like, "Oh man, everybody's hating on me."
Yeah,
dude.
No one's hating on you.
You've caused this. Exactly. Like he doesn't understand.
That's not hate. That's legitimate concern and frustration. We're giving you $30 million. Show the hell up.
Here's a little more. AB. This is when he's sitting down with some dude. You're talking about how he's different about his craft. He does analytics based on his, how many yards he run? Did you watch last night's episode?
Yes.
So he sat down with this guy who was showing him how many yards he ran versus other wide receivers in the league.
Yes.
See, men lie, women lie, but the analytics don't. You know, a lot of people tell stories. Men lie, women lie, right? But the analytics
don't.
Numbers don't lie. It's the factuals. So, like, you know?
he's kind of like a stoner.
Yeah,
a little bit. You know, man? Like, analytics don't. What he said was, men lie, women lie, analytics don't lie.
So they're talking about, like, just, and this is like an NBA thing. Like, they do the usage meter. Like, CJ McCollum runs more than anyone else. And so Antonio Brown is, like, more active than any receiver. He's not a one-trick pony. The guy blocks. He runs all his routes. He finishes.
So they said he ran more. I think what they were trying to say in there.
He ran more than anyone else.
Other player. They track all of that.
Yes. And so that's like if you catch a 12-yard, you know, slant, that doesn't mean that you ran 12 yards.
Yeah.
On the play where it's not going to you, but you're still running the go route, did you run the 30 yards? Or did you give up on the go route after 10 yards? Did you block downfield? He did all of those things, and he wants you to know that, and HBO wanted you to know that. And more importantly, you know who wanted you to know that? The Oakland Raiders. Because this is all sanitized by the Raiders, and it's a bit of a PR spin for him.
Yeah, it doesn't show any of the tough stuff with it at all. But Antonio Brown, he's very strange, but he obviously is a guy that you can like, but the Steelers got sick of him.
Yeah.
So I just think it's only a matter of time before the Raiders get sick of him. It's only just begun.
Sure.
It's just that, as they say on there, hey, just get out there and perform, put up yards, and then we'll put up with it.
Well,
you know? And he did that for Pittsburgh, and they still got rid of him. So it eventually...
But it took him 9 years. But
it did, but this guy...
We all know the guy that dates the stripper, right?
Whoa.
And she's...
No, I don't.
You've never met that guy?
I've met him. I don't know that I know him.
Mm-hmm. None of your friends, right? Like, he dates the stripper, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's the greatest thing in the world. She's the hottest thing ever, and she's the cool chick, and... And then after about 6 months, everyone's like, hey, how's it going? And he's like, oh, you know, it's all right. And then you check in with him a couple weeks later, and then it's just, he's like, oh, dude, she's hot, but this is. And then after a certain point, you're like, I don't even care. Like, I got to be done. It's that. He's a really, really attractive girl that's badass crazy. And eventually, the hotness wears off. But right now, the newness of the relationship, especially when you've committed $30 million to this relationship, Oakland's going to put up with a lot.
Okay, more fun with sports audio coming up next. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, how about that? We're back. Some commercials. Now us.
Some commercials.
So Antonio Brown on Hard Knocks last night, one other thing about him, I didn't have this clip because we got to move on to some other stuff, but he did say, I don't know if you caught in there, there was one point where he was talking to, I think, Richie Incognito or something, but...
Yeah, Incognito, by the way, has been like a non-factor, and I guess he's been on his best behavior in camp from what I've read.
Yeah, again.
And if you want to talk
give
about...
Give it time.
Everyone seems to like him a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you remember what happened?
Well, it's weird that I've talked to people that have played with him, minus Jonathan Martin, who actually, they like him as a teammate. He's just... He's a bad guy.
Well,
like
he's a football guy.
Yeah, but like I think he's got... Everyone's going to say Antonio Brown's got problems. No. Richie Incognito has problems.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Look up some of Richie Incognito stuff that he's got going on, because that's a whole other level of crazy.
Well, Antonio Brown said, you're absolutely right. Like, everybody's going to paint Brown as crazy. Incognito's really crazy.
Yes, Brown is eccentric.
Brown is strange. Yeah,
Incognito
he's out there.
Has disorders.
Yes, and he even says, because he's talking to Antonio Brown and they catch it on film and they're like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Incognito's like, yeah, I've been in therapy and all this stuff.
Well, like he threatened to rip someone's head off and beat someone else with his father's severed head.
Hey,
and
when the cameras are on, baby, what? It's me, Richie Incognito, great teammate.
No big deal.
Hey,
I'll kill you. And he means it.
So, anyway, Brown is saying they're talking about the helmet,
mm-hmm.
and one of his teammates asks him, like, you know, what's going on? And he's like, oh man, look at that thing. He goes, ugly as F. In other words, it was a little glimpse into the fact that it maybe isn't about anything other than he just thinks it's ugly.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because he's saying, oh, it's sight lines and this and that.
No.
He just thinks it looks weird.
Well, there's a lot of people that are
what
like
a horrible
that.
Hill to die on.
I know. It's just so bizarre. But people are funny about things, the all aesthetics right. of them. Like they tell you that one of the new helmets that everyone likes, well, I guess not everyone likes, that's like the safest helmet. It's got like a weird... Like the crumple zones to it, right? There's little soft spots or whatever, and it does look a little bit like a motorcycle helmet. It's kind of got that great gazoo look, and a lot of players won't wear it because of that. They just don't like it. Like, there's technology you can wear. Remember, who is it? Steve Kelso had this. Also, there was a 49ers offensive lineman. I want to say his last name was Wallace. Remember, they used to wear the little...
Yeah, the great gazoo helmet.
The little great gazoo helmet. There was a little foam cushion that they would wear on top of it.
There was a little receiver that did that, too, for Patriots, maybe?
Might have been Steve Tasker that did that.
Oh, Bills.
The Bills. But you would wear that, and they said that, like, if everyone wore that, it would be safer. In fact, I've seen some high schools and, like, little kids that have gone to that where they're selling, like, add-ons, like Lego clip-ons, like the old Lego hair, and you snap it on the top of your helmet, and it gives you a soft little crumple zone. And they said it makes a huge difference, but guys won't wear them. Why? Because they think it looks stupid.
Well, you know, it's another one of those. And it's not quite the same, because you have to have a helmet in football, but baseball pitchers don't wear protective headgear.
Yes.
They're allowed to.
Yeah.
And it looks funky. And I don't know anybody that does. I think there's maybe like one guy they featured on HBO Real Sports who wears it in the minors. Other than that, nobody will do it.
Guys are really strange about just the look of something. It's just, No one wants to be the outlier, but yes, it is strange that something that can protect your head.
All right.
People don't want to deal with it because it looks funny.
Here's more fun audio. Is this John Gruden or Frank Caliendo?
We got some shit to take care of right now, man. Glenn on. Love you, man. Back on the team, we had a lot of neck. We got a good guy for that, man.
University of Dayton. I do this shit for free. You know what? I love football. Knock on wood if you're with me. That impressed me tremendously. A guy by the name of Hunter Renfro. It's pretty spectacular, man. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on.
Gotta stop cussing, man.
All right, here's the deal. You guys are going to go out there and run over these guys tomorrow. Now I'm going to yell for no reason, okay?
Why don't you do something funny here tonight, Frank?
I ran out of stuff about 5 minutes ago, man.
So that's Caliendo as John Gruden. And Gruden's up there, and the players are all laughing.
It really is spot on.
Now, here's the other Caliendo impressions.
Real quick. This Charles Barkley.
Let's talk about this, knuckleheads. There's a lot of guys out there that said it's not going to be rap, but you got to show them what to do, and don't be a bunch of knuckleheads.
What else you want? You want to put the jukebox, Stephen A. Smith? Yeah, I'm incredulous to this entire situation. I understand what's happening here, and Derek Carr, you're going to be an SUV this year. Forget about the car. Upgrade yourself. Make it happen. Do the guys even know John Madden anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, you think of all the things that you do. the things that you try to do and the things that you do in between those two sets of things.
So I guess they understood the Madden thing.
I wouldn't think they...
I thought a lot of players would be like, who?
Yeah.
But they're in Oakland.
I don't think Madden's been seen in public in 10 plus years. Like, he's just...
Still alive, though.
He's gone. Yeah, I think
kill him off yet.
No, he's in poor health, and he doesn't make appearances because of that.
Didn't Summerall die? I think Pat Summerall died.
Did he?
I'm going to kill him off already.
John Madden isn't as old. I would have thought that he was a little bit older than that. He's 80,
How old is he?
He's 83.
Yeah, Summerall died. Madden's 83.
Who would have thought that Pat Summerall would have... And boy, he died a while ago.
2013.
Yeah. How old was he when he went? I'm not going to lie. If you would have told me...
83.
Okay, so
he was that
age.
Much older.
He was that much older. I just would have... Summerall always just seemed in better health than Madden, so...
Well, Madden's still holding on. Now, somebody asked, did Johnny Gruden do the knock on wood thing when he was in Tampa with you?
No.
Because he says, if you don't watch the show, he says, hey, knock on wood if you're with me.
Everybody
and they all have to knock on
the... No, that's new. I do recognize a lot of there's a lot of similar things that are still kind of floating around. Like, he always did the, I'm more excited to watch you play than I am to see my wife. I haven't seen her in 2 weeks. He loved that one. Like, there was...
Did he do that on Hard Knocks this year?
Yeah, he did that one on Hard Knocks. There was always something like that. He's like, he'd come back from the bye week and be like, had to hang out with my effing family. I hate hanging out with my family. This is my family.
Same bits.
He would always do stuff like that. So yeah, there's similar stuff. And that's why I said, I think after a while, it grinds on people. Like, I was only there for, the two seasons, but I had buddies that I would talk to, and they said that after 2, 3, 4 years of it, you hear it all, and you're just like... It loses its impact. That's why I always thought he'd be such a great college coach. One, he's such a dynamic guy that I think he'd be an amazing recruiter. And the you can keep players under your thumb in college a lot better than you can in the NFL. And the roster has such turnover. I really thought he would be a great college coach, but he may want nothing to do with that and deal with it, because he could be a college coach at a big program if he wanted.
Go Owls.
I do have a question for Suk based on... I also finished the All or Nothing last night with the Panthers.
Yeah.
The amount of times the coach angrily goes up to the players and says, make better plays, make good reads, and it's all going to work out.
Yeah.
That's not really coaching. That's just obvious.
No.
But that actually happen, or is that just the TV thing that I'm seeing?
90% of what coaches say is absolutely meaningless. And I hate
literally, it's like,
I hate to, it's just, it's pointless. They don't know what to do. Like, if you've watched that All or Nothing, there's an episode where Funchess is just having like a horrific day. He's like drops and he can't do anything.
Well, his brother died, or his cousin died.
His cousin died. And like, they're over
there.
He's
having a bad day.
And they're over there like, focus, like lock in, as if Devin Funchess all of a sudden is going to be like, Oh yeah, you're right. I got it. Right.
That's right. I forgot to lock in.
You want me to focus. Yes. And there's another one where their rookie corner, I don't know what his first name is. Jackson is his last name. One of the corners, same thing.
If he's nasty.
Yeah, he's nice reference. He's telling everyone, he's like, would you stop talking to me about this? He goes, guys, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I'm taking it seriously. He's like, I'm trying. Like, I got beat, right? I get it. You don't have to keep telling me to focus and take it seriously. So much of coaching is just, it's a helpless feeling, right? And so the coaches don't have any real control, so they just go to hyperbole and stupid things like that. But yes, I can't tell you how many times you're sitting there on the bench and the coach comes over and says something to you and you're like, yeah, no S, thanks, awesome, great.
I just remember it was in the midst of their super long losing streak at the end of the season for the Panthers, and Ron Rivera goes up to Cam Newton or the quarterback's coach or whoever and is like, as long as you're making the better reads and the better plays will happen, then all the good things will happen. And I'm like, yeah.
Hello.
Yes. That's how sports work.
And duh. The best is when you can.
Duh.
The best is when you can hit
all
a coach.
All the players nod like, you're right.
You can hit a coach with an answer that kind of shuts him down. I remember I've told the story about when I got put in against the 49ers in a preseason game against the real player. I was getting murdered, just slaughtered. And
was it OJ?
No, it was not. And I came off the field and the coach just laid into me.
Thank you. Anybody that laughed at that, thank you.
And dropped a, what the hell's going on out there? And I said, they're a lot better than I am. And he just looked at me and
he couldn't handle that.
There was just this weird moment where we looked at it. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what? Like, what are you going to tell me? Right? Like, we know what's happening.
Block him better.
Yes.
What is the matter with you?
Like, what's going on?
Execute.
Yeah, he's so much better than I am. And he just kind of looked at me and then turned around and I was like, well,
let's get somebody else in there.
It's the end of that.
You don't know what you're doing, Sakanic.
Like that. I knew what I was doing, but you know what I couldn't do? Block that guy. Because sometimes that's just what happens.
The thought of you on your knees is a wonderful one.
Sorry.
Like if you
misfire.
When you get burned by Antonio Brown,
ew.
Or, you know, you get smoked by J.J. Watt, sometimes the answer is simply, he's really good and he beat me.
Right.
Like, what did you do there? I don't know. I got run by. I went this way. He went that way. Next thing I know, he was catching a touchdown. That's why he's making $80 million.
Yeah, it's funny because as a football fan, you just think it's so complex. And football is complex.
Sure.
If you get into the X's and O's. But when you watch these shows, you realize how simple it really is.
Yes.
It's just, you know, kind of basic human dynamics, yeah. You know.
Remember when in the second episode of Hard Knocks, when they were practicing against the Rams, right? And they were like, Aaron Donald was standing across the field, and all the Raiders were like, it's Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
You know, there was just like this reverence because that's that guy, right? Rich Incognito was talking
about
it.
They were laughing. They're like, dude, he's so good.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah,
there's
nothing like Incognito, who, by the way, is like a 5-time Pro Bowl guard. He was just laughing. He's like, I don't know. I just, whatever. Like, there's guys like that are literally unstoppable. Like, you can kind of get in their way sometimes, but you don't block Aaron Donald. The best you can do is just hope to annoy him long enough and that the play goes away from him. But you don't really stop him. You don't contain players like that. And no amount of coaching or locking in or focus, whatever Ron Rivera says,
Mike,
is going to make a difference when you're trying to block him or you know, cover Antonio Brown or DeAndre Hopkins.
Mike, I'm gonna use this moment for my first mound visit of the day, okay?
Okay.
I need you to throw strikes, okay? All right?
Hey, hum, babe, come on, man. We need some strikes.
Here's a butt pat.
Wait,
let's throw some strikes, okay?
You're telling me I shouldn't be throwing balls? I thought that was the whole point of the game.
Here's what we need to do. We need to throw some strikes. We get some strikes in there, all right?
You know what? Yeah.
All right, here's a butt pat.
I'll throw some strikes.
All right, in a spit. All right, take it easy. Okay, well, let's wrap this up next. I have a question about Derek Carr, and then I have other audio not pertaining to Hard Knocks as we wrap up Hour 1 next on The Fan.
Ways and live life. Blue Emu. Works fast and you won't stink. Available at nationwide retailers.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Talking inner workings of an NFL franchise, having watched Hard Knocks. Yeah, you were talking during the break about position coaches in the NFL. Like, Mike's point is a good one. It's like, you'll oftentimes, they'll get a camera on a position coach gathering his unit.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you know, I need you to block better. All right? What's the matter with you? You know, it's like, what is the, yeah, of course, yeah. We know that. And you were saying that there are two positions where the position coaches are utterly useless.
The biggest one, and I'm not trying to disparage anyone, but defensive line coach, it's the easiest thing to coach in all of sports. In all of sports.
Hey, and I need you guys to rush the passer, okay?
There are so many bad ones that are just ex-NFL players, and I don't know what they do, right? They're just...
They don't make much money, do
no,
they?
And there's just not a lot. There's really not a lot to it. And running backs coaches...
Aren't they just like overseeing D-line drills?
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Yeah.
And the head coach probably is the one who dictates the drills. So he's just like, hey, come on. Yeah, it's, like,
there's
faster.
There's not a whole lot of meat on that bone, man. There just isn't. And running backs coaches can have a little bit of this too, where it's just.
Yeah, what are they teaching?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, maybe some stuff in pass protection. But even then, a lot of times they have to come over with the old line and learn how to do that and like blitz pick up. But it's not. It's not super detailed, man. There's just. There are some position coaches that are a little more important than others, which is why a lot of times in college, you know what the defensive line coach is? He's a recruiter.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
I get that.
You just.
But like the NFL running backs meeting pregame is like, hey, here's some film. Here's who's going to be trying to rip your head off. My suggestion is avoid them and do not fumble.
There were definitely some times when you'd be sitting there at practice and you'd be kind of listening into what other groups would do, or when you were in team period, you were listening to what was going on at the other positions, and you would just, because the offensive line is a very...
That's intricate.
You need one.
Yeah.
I think having a good old line coach is a big deal. And you would sit there and you would compare kind of what you have to go through in the scrutiny to what the other positions, and you're like, man, I really picked the wrong position here. It just, there's just some that just aren't as important, and I'm looking right at you defensive line coaches.
So how do we feel about Derek Carr so far? Isn't he...
I think his is a little bit of an act.
Yeah, he's cleaning it up.
I think he's very unnatural on camera.
I also just don't think he fits in very well.
He's kind of a dork.
He feels like very out of place.
Yes, he's a dork, and he reminds me a little bit right now of A-Rod, in that he's a little awkward, he oils himself up a little bit, and he's trying very hard to be liked and trying very hard to be what he thinks a big time quarterback should be.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think the same thing when I watch him. It's not natural. Like, he comes over to the sideline during the Cardinals game and he's like high-fiving, I don't know who it was. He's like, take that, Cardinals. He's like high-fiving his teammates. Yeah, like, yeah. Take that, Arizona. Yeah. Take that, Cardinals. Wow, way to trash talk, Derek.
Yeah, he's the guy at the sports bar that's like, how about that local sports team? Did you see the game and how many points were scored?
Yeah, he's not very inspiring.
No, it's,
and that's no good because you want a little Baker Mayfield out of your quarterback, right?
Like, yeah.
He's the opposite.
You either want a little
Cam Newton out of your quarterback.
You want a little Baker Mayfield.
Newton's a good leader.
He is. Newton's a great leader. Or you want someone that's, like, there's different ways to do it. I don't think you have to be as animated, obviously, as those two. I think there's can be, like, quiet leadership. But, yeah, you do want some sort of confidence. You want some balls. Let's call it what it is, man. You need your quarterback to take control. We were talking about this when we had, who was it? We had Jake Hansen and Breland were in here, right? And we were talking about the Oregon players, in case anyone didn't know who we're referring to there. But we were talking about Herbert a little bit and kind of his growth and development. And they even said as much. They're like, we see a difference in him, that he's becoming more comfortable, because they said, and I don't think they meant it really as a negative, but they did bring up in the past that when the things were going rough, Herbert had a tendency to kind of go into a shell a little bit, right? He got very quiet, kind of pulled away a little bit, and the team feeds off that, right? Whether you want to be or not, you have to be the leader as a quarterback, right? You can have other team leaders. You can have a receiver. You can have a left tackle. You can have a running back. But at the end of the day, one guy talks in the huddle. One guy matters, and it's that position. And you have to be comfortable in whatever style of leadership. It's not one size fits all, but you have to have some of that. And because guys naturally look to you and that position kind of demands it. And if you can't, you know, there's a limit to what you're going to be. There's a limit to your success.
All right, we've got XFL news coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.